And I'll just review point one for those of you that need to fill it in. Let me just go over the context. Remember, David, this is when he wrote Psalm 3, when his son, Absalom, rose up against him and took away the kingdom. And David had to flee Jerusalem barefoot and weeping, as we read the Word of God. And so we find him in this difficult situation, and God allows him to pen this psalm for us. And I think, as I said before, we can identify with these psalms of lament because they express exactly what we need in our lives when we're going through difficult times. We can identify with David. We can identify with what he's going through. And I hope this will be a blessing for you tonight. How to be victorious over distress and your enemies. Amen. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your love and your provision. God, we just want to praise you tonight for all that you do for us. We know, Lord, that we don't deserve any of it, but we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Father, how you show yourself strong on behalf of your children. Father, tonight, help us to learn from this psalm. Father, you know each of our heart's condition tonight, spiritually, and our needs and our lives and what we're going through. And Father, we know that the Word of God is sufficient to meet all of our needs. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will work in a special way tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Holy Spirit of God is teaching us tonight through this psalm how to be victorious. Number one, if you haven't taken notes, maybe you were not here. How are you going to be victorious? Number one, lay your distress before God. Lay your distress before the Lord in prayer. That's what he did in verses 1 and 2. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. We saw that he was outnumbered. He had nowhere to turn but unto the Lord. How many times are we like that in our lives? And certainly we need to learn to turn to the Lord in times like these, when your enemies oppose you, when people rise up against you. And we looked at Ephesians 6 to know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's one thing we have to keep in mind. Even though you're dealing with a person in front of you or someone attacking you, it's the devil. It's principalities and powers using that person to attack you. And that's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6. Sadly, David felt as if his own friends turn away from him. His own son, his own family And we read a little bit about Shimei, how he talked to David and how he mocked him. But verse 2 is amazing. It says, Selah. Selah. And basically, we know that David had to pause here. He had to reflect. He had to meditate. And also, it's a time not only to meditate, but it is to lift up your prayer or praise to God at that moment for what you just read or what you just learned from God or how God just spoke to you. Take time. That's what the word Selah is teaching us. So I hope tonight we realize that we are to cast all of our care upon the Lord. Amen. We are to come unto Him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the Lord that will meet our needs, and He is faithful. Number 2, proclaim your faith in the Lord. Verses 3 through 6. Proclaim your faith in the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the word but? Amen. But thou, O Lord. You know, here he is surrounded by many. Many are they that trouble me. Many that rise up against me. They're crying out. He has no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Amen. We learned some things here. Isn't it amazing that when the Lord appears, light comes. Amen. We were singing about that. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul. And that's what God does when He shows up. He brings light to the darkness. Amen. And that's what we see here. The Lord Jehovah. So David was able to take his eyes off the enemy and put them on the Lord. Isn't that what we are to do? We are to focus on God, not on our enemies, not on our battles. And remember this, you're never alone. God is with you. And He's faithful. I don't know, reading about the kings, it struck me, and I don't think I can pull it up, but it was right in the middle of all these wicked kings. You remember, one after the other, and you're reading about these kings, and I don't think I'm going to pull it up, but there was a verse in there that talked about God and His faithfulness. And God said, it said about the Lord that God did not abandon them, amen. God did not overthrow them because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was even referring to Israel. Remember the kings of Israel. There's probably not a good king in Israel. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 13, 23. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them. It's 2 Kings, by the way, 13, 24. I just said 13, 24. 2 Kings, 13, 23. 13, 23. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, had respect unto them, because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast He them from His presence as yet. Amen. See, God is faithful because of His covenant. David knew that. Amen. David knew the faithfulness of God. David knew the promises of God. This is where we are, brethren. God is faithful. We can trust him at all times. And so David's faith, how do you get faith? And we always talk about that. Where does faith come from? We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get faith as you read the Bible, as you meditate on the Bible, as you memorize the scriptures. God gives you faith. So David had the same promises. David knew the word of God. And remember back in 2 Samuel 7:16, he says, "And thine house, and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." God was speaking to David. And this is where I think we all need to come back to over and over again in our lives. We are to stand on God's word. We are not to react in fear. We should not look at our fears. We should not be led by our feelings. We should be led by God's holy word. And so David had that conviction, and we ought to have the same conviction. God will not break his promise. "But thou, O Lord," amen. He's our shield. Shields protect you from the enemies. Arrows, amen. God will protect you. And think about that. That's God is your shield. So who takes the blows? He does. Not you. Remember Jesus. He hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. He was stripped. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He is our shield. He absorbed everything. The impact of sin for us. Amen. God is our glory. Think about all the glory that David had, remember, in war and the victories. And that's why Saul, he started giving him the evil eye, remember? When the people were praising David. "David, Saul killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And Saul, from that moment on, began to eye David and not trust him. And it actually came to a place where he wanted to kill him. He was so jealous. Now, how can he go from that? All the glory. Being established as king. Established by God. To walking away out of the city in shame. Barefoot and weeping, the Bible says. With his head hung low. His own son was his enemy. Think about that. But David recognized, "Thou, O Lord, are my glory." See how he encouraged, you know, one thing that David could do, and the Bible states this of him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Meaning, you have to get alone with God. You have to start looking at God. God has to be your glory. God has to be your shield. And make that real. You have to act in faith. And God will respond. Amen. You know what? We do know the end of the story. Did he ever get his glory back? Amen. God blessed him. And God will do the same for us. But not only that, he is our lifter up of our head, mine head, David said. God is our encourager. And so we do know that God will lift us up. God will give us courage to face the difficulties. He will give us grace. He will lift up our head if we allow him to do it. beyond our circumstances. We could see beyond the circumstances that we're facing and see Him. His greatness, His sufficiency, His power, what He can do. God would lift His head up literally and bring Him back in triumph, marching back again to Jerusalem as king. And that's how we know how this story ends. And God will do the same with us. He will vindicate us and honor our faith and our faithfulness to Him. That's why we never ought to give up. It doesn't matter what this world is coming to. It doesn't matter how bad or how dark it's going to get. Stay faithful. God will lift you up. God will honor those who honor Him. He will never let us down. Amen. Verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. There it is again. Isn't it not too often our plans come before our prayers? When it should be our prayers before our plans. David was not like that. He had no plan. He realized he was incapable. And so his only recourse here was to cry out to God in prayer. From the depths of his heart, he cried out. He released all the pressure and all the pain that was pent up inside of him. I cried unto the Lord. Have you done that? Have you cried unto the Lord with everything that you are going through in your heart? God is in His holy hill. I'm glad you sang that tonight. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. God is in His holy hill. Mount Zion is the holy hill. There is where the tabernacle was and later the temple. Amen. God's presence was there. He was in the Holy of Holies. His glory was there. The Ark of the Covenant. I don't know. I just caught something. You know, Ted Alexander's over in Israel. And he put some quote on today about those who are rebuilding the temple said, we have the Ark of the Covenant. And it's ready to be put in the temple. That's all it said. I didn't even ask him. Interesting comment. The Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, God's presence, God's glory. Remember, as they were leaving, they brought the Ark of the Covenant with them. And David said, no, take it back. Don't bring it. So he wanted it to be in the rightful place. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 15. So David had faith in the presence of God, in the power of God. He had faith that God would hear his prayers. He didn't have to have the Ark of the Covenant, amen, right there with him. He knew God would hear his prayers because of his relationship with God. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 17, 13. I will be his father. He shall be my son. I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. And that's David speaking unto, or Nathan speaking unto David. And that, what was the relationship? The relationship that we know that David had, God was his father. He was his son. And brethren, we have the same relationship today, as Galatians says, and because ye are sons, we are in the new covenant, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have a desire to cry out to God because he's our Father. That's what this is all about. You cry out to him because you need him. You depend on him. He's the one you go to in all of your distresses. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, the Bible says, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in time of need. Brethren, we have a place. We have the throne of grace. God is there. Jesus is there. He's our high priest. That's that whole context. Hebrews chapter 4. He's our high priest. What does he want to give you? Mercy and grace for every need. We don't have to suffer. He's there for us. And then verse 5, letter H, I think that's if you're following along. God sustains us through the night. Aren't you thankful for that? Think about David. How many times did he have to learn that when Saul was persecuting him and he was fleeing for his life? They were all around him. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I know we probably don't think about that, but you know it's so true. Every night that you go to bed, the Lord sustains you. He wakes you up for another day. That's the Lord. And that's why we should wake up in the morning and thank him, because it's not us, it's him. He gave us another day of life. We could just go into sleep. We could go at any moment. That's how frail our health is. We could go at any moment. There's not a one of us. You know, there are healthy athletes that drop over dead right there. We don't know. So let's be conscious of this. The Lord sustains us when we awake. Amen. He's the one who wakes us up. He's the one who gives us life. Let's trust him then through the night. Amen. The idea that even in these circumstances he was able to lay down and go to sleep, it's because God can give us peace even in the midst of the storm. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, look what it says, God's peace shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the peace that he gives us. He's the one who gives us the peace to guard and keep our hearts. Does not sleep refresh us and renew us for the battles ahead? But I know that prayer also refreshes you and renews you for the battles ahead. God delivers us from fear. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. And David literally, I mean, think about it. The armies. He only had several hundred men with him. 10s of thousands around him. If we truly put our lives in the hands of the Lord, then we can truly be identified with David and say, I will not be afraid, because God's going to take care of me. Even when they're seeking my life, even when they're out to kill me. This is not exaggeration. This is not poetic language. This is real. Think about those who supported him and fled with him. They were just a small number. And then Absalom stole the hearts. Remember, he stole the hearts of the people. And even men that once fought with David and for David were part of Absalom's army. That's how David felt. They all turned on him. And then we end our psalm in verses 7 and 8. Cry out for deliverance. How are you going to get victory? Cry out for deliverance. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheek bone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen. Notice it's a cry of confidence. Verse 7. David is confident that God is going to answer him. God is present with him. And that's the confidence. God's going to care for him. This is the same confidence we need to do battle with. Amen. The same faith and confidence. B, verse 7. Cry out for personal deliverance and for the defeat of your enemies. Have you done that? Thou hast smitten, what does he say? All mine enemies. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. This is David's cry. This is their response to those who mocked him and proclaimed that God was against him. He said, no. God smote you on the cheek. God's going to break your teeth. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. So David uses two phrases here in praying for his enemy's destruction. Striking the enemy on the cheek, that's a slap in the face. That's an act of humiliation. So that's what he's calling for. Humiliate them. David saw the rebellious army as a pack of animals that needed their teeth broken. He called upon God to make his enemies as powerless as toothless lions. Amen. I don't think there ever existed one of those, but that would be funny looking. Proclaim your faith that deliverance comes from God in verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Brethren, this is so true. We should never take credit. At the end of the day, we didn't secure the victory. He does. We can't say, ah, look what I did. No, let's give him the glory. Let's give God the glory for salvation. Let's praise him for his faithfulness. He keeps his covenant, even in spite of man's sinful failures. Remember what I just read over there in 2 Kings? In spite of man's sinful failures, God will be faithful to his promises. His word will be fulfilled. And that struck me strongly, really. Do you believe that God will show himself strong on your behalf because of the promises he made to you? I hope you believe that. So how did David's victory come? It came through taking his distress, his burden, his troubles to the Lord and turning everything over to him. You can't carry. Your shoulders aren't big enough. God didn't make you to carry all these burdens. Turn them back to him. His shoulders are big enough, amen. He's strong enough, don't worry. Then you pray unto the Lord. You have to pray. And then you have to have unwavering faith in God and His Word. God will give you assurance, as He did David. At some point, you see how this turns. He's praying, he's crying, and then God gave him that peace. God gave him that assurance as he was praying, as he was crying out. And once he does, what are we to do? Rest in his peace. Colossians 3:15, we want to go over there because it speaks of peace. You see, many times we face problems and troubles. And we ask, how long should we pray for a solution? Well, I think you should keep praying until God answers you by giving you peace. The peace of God should rule in our hearts when we make decisions. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. There's more and more and more coming in that chapter 3. Amen. We're studying. We're getting there in our studies of Colossians. When God gives us peace, we can proceed with confidence. But until He gives us peace, what are we to do? Continue in prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. See, the peace of God will come, but you have to keep praying. That peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your mind, your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Is this not the way to be victorious in times of distress? Is this not the way to be victorious when we're attacked by our enemies? Yes, it is. This is God's solution. This is God's answer. And we need to have the same faith that David had. God will hear our cry. God will respond. God will give us the victory. Let's believe Him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.